This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. Well, I was terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco, high on a hill.
Yeah, she left her hair in San Francisco. Controversy bubbling up over a salon visit for the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. She says it was a setup by a San Francisco hair salon. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for joining us on the show. If it's your first time, woohoo! Oh, you're going to have fun because this is a jam-packed hour. So here's the scoop on Nancy Pelosi. It's true. The video shows it, and it's not a paranormal video. Maybe it's because I watched a few of those with my nephew. It's really true. It's Nancy Pelosi, and she was not wearing a mask. And, of course, that popped up and was served up all over the place. Pelosi said she was told by E! Salon, where she had gone to get her hair done in her native San Francisco, that they were allowed to have one customer at a time inside their establishment. But salons in San Francisco have been closed since the coronavirus pandemic began and only allowed to begin providing services outdoors on Tuesday. Yikes. Under the city's guidelines. Even I knew that, Nance. We've talked about it on the show before, and we've had many Californians on. Some of them have complained about it, and some say this is the big lockdown of Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Regardless, that is the case. That no, it's not one customer at a time, it's outside. So in the end, Nancy Pelosi said at a press conference in San Francisco, I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many, many times, that when they said that we're able to accommodate people one person at a time, that we could set up the time. I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup. So she keeps saying it was a setup, and the Republicans are just loving this because this is raw meat to the lions when over and over again, Nancy Pelosi attacked the president for not having a mask mandate and saying how ridiculous it was, etc. So there's no question the footage does show her inside without a mask, and she's not denying that. She's saying that she was misled and set up. So now what about the salon? What do they have to say about that? Did they set her up? And the owner of the salon said that she has independent stylists working for her, that's normal, who rent chairs in the hair salon and claim that she can't control what they do if they rent the chairs from her. Wow. So when it's all said and done, it's not done. An attorney representing the stylist who did Pelosi's hair, Jonathan DiNardo, said in a statement late on Wednesday that he had been authorized, by the owner of that establishment to do the hair of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. This isn't going away anytime soon. It could be in the people's court. Who knows in the end? But look, the bottom line is Nancy Pelosi got busted without a mask. And this is what we say about everybody else. You can't assume. Assuming is you know what. And she assumed. She assumed that she could. She didn't wear the mask. She didn't wear it. I have not been to a salon since... or since the end of January, and I finally went back because it was completely where temperature checks, sanitizing everything, and this just happened a couple of days ago. Everybody temperature checks the whole thing, and mask on, people, the whole time. Everybody had a mask on, I had a mask on, etc., because we know that salons are still kind of dicey in some areas. Not dicey necessarily where I am, but I wasn't taking any chances. So Nancy Pelosi doesn't do herself a favor or fellow Democrats by getting caught in that situation. All right, how about COVID-19? Where are we? So always at the top, I give you, sadly, the death odometer, the cases, that kind of thing, and there's controversy over that. So deaths that have been reported... COVID-19 deaths, 186,000 cases, 6.13 million. In the world, 25.8 million cases, 859,000 deaths. There's been a reversal, and I'm so not surprised. This was one of my mic drop moments a couple days ago, and I got a call from someone in Iowa about this that said that they were listening to what I had to say and what some others had to say. I don't think I'm responsible for this, but it was something that completely stunned me, and I said, this is a huge test. Iowa State was going to play their opener in a stadium with 25,000 fans. They reversed it. It's going to be an empty stadium now. So 2 days ago, 3 days ago, last week, it was going to be 25 fans, no tailgating, all of that. The athletic director, Jamie Pollard, said that the reversal was handed down by Iowa State president Wendy Winterstein after she received feedback from the community. They didn't want it. They didn't want to take the chance that somebody wouldn't be wearing the mask, wouldn't be following whatever they were supposed to do as far as monitoring the situation, and it was too risky. So no dice. They're still going to monitor the situation, but they're not going to allow fans. Now, there is a game October 3rd, and maybe fans will be able to come in then. But as of now, no. If they had done the 25%, it would have been, and I checked on this, 41% of that stadium's capacity. And, of course, Iowa has seen the number of cases skyrocket in the last couple of weeks. So how about that? Didn't happen. And I was surprised, I have to say, when I got that information. All right, this isn't a surprise to me. Sturgis, I get it. It's supposed to be incredible. If you are a rider of a hog, if you're a motorcycle fan, this is the place to be year in and year out. But the first COVID-19 death has been linked to the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, and it was reported in Minnesota. It's a biker in his 60s, and he's one of about 260 infections traced back to that event last month where people weren't wearing masks. A lot of people weren't. Not everyone, there were some, but with the kind of crowd they had, most were not doing it, feeling like, okay, we're on our bikes, we're separated enough, and then when we're not separated, we feel fine. That was on your mind because I got a couple of emails about that. We're going to shoot down to the mailroom and check that out coming up on the flip side.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos, beat rising food prices, but above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Mail, letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier, train, and plane, sent and delivered through post.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail, man.
That I got a lot of emails about the situation in Iowa, about the first game and what was Iowa State thinking, and because again I had emphasized it so much. So I got this one from Doug, actually in Ottumwa. He said, Kate, those people are idiots. How can an athletic director think that it's okay to fill up less than 50%, but close enough to 50% of a stadium with the very age group that has not been responsible during this COVID crisis? That is just asinine, if you ask me, my friend. Well, don't worry, Doug. You don't have to sweat it, or anyone else that sent me an email about it, because it's not happening. They reversed that. I just talked about it. And I think for the reasons that I mentioned, take that risk and talk about getting more than a black eye. Absolutely. I mentioned Sturgis and the fact that they've got their first death traced to the motorcycle rally. There are other things that are brewing as far as COVID-19 is concerned, including something else that we've talked about. And this is a fair or foul? We're going to do an unofficial poll on this. And I've also said this once before, but the vaccine and the science behind the vaccine. Now there's reports that, yep, vaccine's going to be here by November 1st. But is that a vaccine that really is vetted by the FDA? Well, how could you put it on the market if it's not completely vetted? If it's not ready? The CDC is saying it. The CDC is saying, yeah, be ready to roll up your sleeves by November, because this could really, really help a lot of people legitimately. And it's going to be ready. Wow. Even Dr. Anthony Fauci is saying, you remember, he's the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And he's saying that he's confident that the experts making the call on a vaccine wouldn't be swayed by political pressure with Election Day approaching. Because November, October, that's what, you know, flip a coin, getting close. And it's significant if this happens. It's incredibly significant. It's about what are they seeing with the massive amount of people that they're testing, and who would be the first to get it? Of course, frontline healthcare workers, paramedics, firefighters, police, because they're at the high risk end of the spectrum of contracting, you know, the virus. So that's who's going to go first, just in case you were wondering. As we look at the numbers, and I just gave you an overall number, the U.S., I said, had, you know, over 6 million cases and over 184,000 deaths, and what I was talking about globally. New case records set in Iowa, that's why the concern there, Minnesota, South Dakota, West Virginia, that's what's happening earlier this week, just a day before Hopkins, they go through the data and then they crunch it. And I've got this email from Terry, who says, Kate, are you watching what they're saying at the Coronavirus Resource Center at Hopkins? Because they're breaking down now how many people, the recoveries, of course, and how many people are now in these hot zones all over the world. But in the United States, of course, some of what we're seeing, too, as well, and how that is shifting. Yeah, they have a, if you're curious about it, you can just go to Johns Hopkins. They've got a website where it lists the cases. And not individually, by the way, but it lists the other countries, Brazil, and how many they have, how many cases, and they've got almost 4 million cases. So they're right on our heels. India, with the massive population they have, they're close to Brazil, 200,000 less, I think, than Brazil. And then you look at some other places like Russia. You know, nobody's talking about Russia. And it's because we've had enough of Russia with elections and meddling and conversations about that. Well, over just slightly over a million for Russia. Slightly over it. And, you know, one of the takes about this whole thing is, well, what about the tests? And what are the tests showing? And isn't that why some of the numbers are shooting up? I mean, listen, to me, the most manipulated statistics of all right now, it's a toss-up. Is it the political polls straight up for president, or is it anything to do with coronavirus of any sort, of COVID-19, all of that? That's the most manipulated, right? And then we keep hearing, go by the science and look at the science, but the science is also getting manipulated. You can fact check this stuff to death. I think when you look at Johns Hopkins, they are just giving you the stats. All right, so let's jump to this one. This one comes to us from Laura, and Laura says, Kate, you know what I have to tell you? I don't know about you. I like me a good conspiracy theory sometimes, but there are a few that I'm just sick and tired of hearing, and to be honest, just try to stomp out for my friends who consistently bring them up to me. One of them is something you talked about and how his doctor denied it and said it wasn't true, that the president had a series of mini strokes, and that's why he was at Walter Reed Medical Center in November. And that is fake. That's fake news. Why would a doctor completely lie about that? And you'd have to have so many people that would cover that up. I don't think you could cover up mini strokes, do you? No, I think that would be tough to cover up, because there are people that would want to have it out there, as many people that would want to not have it out there. And I think, yes, I think it would be very, very tough, especially when you're talking about Walter Reed. I don't care what anyone says. There's no complete lockdown. I think it would be very tough for that. Absolutely. I mean, you're right. There is just a slew of them. You know, there's even one floating around about Biden, that he's taking enhancement drugs, and that's, you know, he's Joe in the basement taking enhancement drugs, and I don't know, just seems crazy to me, right? If anything, at these ages that they are, that's the last thing you're trying to do. I mean, you are just so trying to play it right down the middle, right? Instability, health scares? No way. I mean, because you're talking about two men, because it's down to this. Either we reelect this current president, President Trump, or you get Joe Biden. They're in their 70s. And Joe, of course, is a few years older than Trump, but they're in that same ballpark to me. So the last thing that they want to touch is anything related to that. Unless it's about their opponent, then that's a whole different story. All right, let's go to this one. This one is from Big Al. And Big Al says, Katie girl, I love it when you talk about the man cave. Bring back the man cave. I haven't heard it lately. Did you happen to catch what happened with Fear the Beard? I know you're a big fan of his. In the last game that nailed a game 7, I think it was pretty amazing to watch what the Houston Rockets guard has done, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way. Well, yeah, of course, absolutely. You know what? A lot of people aren't talking about it. I don't even actually know what the ratings are, because now we're still in that bubble in Orlando. No fans, that whole thing. Applause, applause, applause for the commissioner, because I think they seem to be doing it right. That's what I think. And that's why we're not hearing about a ton of cases. There were some cases heading into it. There were some people that decided that they weren't going to play, and that was fine. But what did James Harden do that was so spectacular? I mean, he sealed the deal. So Houston won the series. That's what you left out, over the Thunder. Sorry for all my Oklahoma City fans. 104-102. And Harden, you know, basically the potential, he had the potential game-winning block that was off of his fingertips, so he secured that. He's amazing is what he is. All right, you can send me your thoughts on anything, as you see, from coronavirus to the man cave to anything in between, including conspiracy theories. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Big announcement. I'm doing a telethon over the weekend for a very good cause. Got the deets next.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 Technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your real water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The mayor and police chief of Rochester, New York, said they're not going anywhere and vowed to make things better. The western New York City has seen protests for the last several nights in the wake of the death of 41-year-old Daniel Prude. Prude died in March after an interaction with police, but video and incident details did not come to light until recently. His death was ruled a homicide, and the seven officers involved with the death have since been suspended with pay. Mayor Lovely Warren says she's ready to make changes.
For everything that we have seen this year, it is clear to me that there is more work that needs to be done, and I am committed to doing that work.
But that's not good enough for protesters. They still want Warren and Police Chief LaRon Singletary to exit. This is USA Radio News. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said he and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi have worked out an agreement to work on a so-called Clean Continuing Resolution, or CR, to avoid a shutdown of the federal government. The short-term spending bill is needed before the end of the month to achieve that goal. Mnuchin on Fox News Sunday said conversations are continuing.
We're having the appropriations staff, the four corners, meet and go through some specific details on it. But the good news is we've agreed on a clean CR.
The secretary hopes things move forward by the end of the week. He noted that he and Pelosi agreed on not wanting to see the federal government shuttered. Officials overall hope Americans remember to continue to take precautions against COVID-19 this holiday weekend.
Just try and do outdoor activities. If you're going to do it socially with other people, don't make it a large crowd.
That's the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
So I never hide the fact that I really, really, and why would I, that I really, really love poetry, and I have so much respect for people who write poetry, who sometimes dig deeper. They're not afraid to show their battle scars and to share their joys and their life. And this next woman I'm going to introduce you to, we're going to Australia. Her name is Diane Walter, and she's written a book called Over the Years, and she has done that so brilliantly, and her background just blows me away. I almost feel like we're on that show called This Is Your Life, and, you know, this woman was so giving to children who really needed her, and then it turns out she was also an ICE a skater, professional ice skater. Can you imagine? I can't even go across the ice without hanging onto the sides because I'm afraid I'm going to fall. So without further ado, Diane Walter joins us. And again, her book of poetry is called Over the Years. Diane, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to see you, Kate.
Let's talk about why you pulled this together. How did you decide to write poetry? I mean, you told me off the air this came to you later in life, right? You didn't think, hey, I'm going to eventually one day write a book of my poems and pull them together, did you?
That's correct. I never thought of it writing poems. I loved writing, and there was a class in English where you had to write a composition. And I was always quite good at that. I think I was in my early or late 30s, let's say, before I even thought of writing a poem. And it just sort of came to me somehow. And I think my first poem was about a little boy that I worked with. And I started to write down a few things about that.
Wow, and it's led you now to this place where you are, where you and I are speaking about the poems that you've written. And one of them that you brought up in our conversation, and I just mentioned this, that you were an ice skater and professionally because you were part of a chorus and you traveled around. Wow. So tell us, first of all, tell us what that was like.
Oh, that was terribly exciting. I was only 16. The first time I performed as an ice skater professionally, I was 15, and I was in a pantomime, Cinderella on Ice. And then it was about a year or two later when I was 16, and there was a show called Ecstasy on Ice, and I applied and got into that. So that traveled all around the capital cities of Australia. And I just thought it was wonderful because it made me feel grown up, but also it was something that I had dreamt of. It's such an experience to actually be ice skating as a living. And the people that I was working with were all older than me, of course, and they were sort of like a whole lot of parents.
Wow. I can just visualize it. I have to tell you, I'm like visualizing this in my head. And you wrote a poem called Ice Dancer. Would you be so kind to read that for us, to tell us that that poem so everybody can hear it? Because it really kind of nails home that idea that, hey, this is what I did. This was rattling around in my head. And then it pours out in a poem.
I can read that out of my book.
Perfect.
Okay, shall I start?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's called Ice Dance. Hair flying, she sped across the ice, face flushed, skin aglow, blades splashing, whirling and twirling as light caught her eyes, soaring above through the mist of white, then softly descending. Blades gracefully slice, patterns and figures mirrored on the smooth surface, gliding, pirouetting, low on the ice. Excitement, inner energy never ending, bending, swaying, once, twice and thrice, slowing to meet the demands of the music, powerful movements, quiet as mice, colours blending with costume and lights, forming rainbows like jewels beyond price. Flowing skirt from sequined leotard glowing, shadowed on the glistening ice. Skating a ballet of beauty and purpose, vulnerable emotions expressed on ice.
Wow. Very well done. Wow.
Thank you.
It really captured what you were talking about, and you felt like that with the blades, and you could hear kind of, I think, that swishing, and that's the beauty of poetry. As you started to write poems, because I think there's people out there that have that kind of ideas of writing things down and they don't write them. What was it that drove you to finally say, this is keeping me up, or I'm thinking about this, did you just say, well, I'm going to write them down, I'm going to play with these words a little bit? How did that pour out of you?
Well, it was after I'd moved and retired and moved to a new house, and I did start having some thoughts coming to me about songs that I could write for church and different things. And so I used to just get these ideas would come to me often at midnight. And after a while, I decided that it'd be better to write poetry in the daytime when I was awake. One day I noticed there was a competition, and it was in America, and it was a poetry competition, and I thought, I might go in that and see how it all works out. Because if you got into, I think it was the semifinals, you could get a trip to America, to Washington, D.C. So I did, I entered, and I did get into the semifinals, and I was able to travel to America and attend this competition in Washington. And I learned a whole lot of things there with a lot of other people who were poets. Many of them had been writing a lot longer than what I had. And that was just such a great experience. And that poem actually got into the Library of Congress, which all the competition poems did. I think the ones that got into the semi-finals got into Congress. So I think I've got two books in Congress at the moment. And, well, not books, poems, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, so then I just started writing. Something would appear on TV and it would speak to me somehow, and I'd think, oh, I've got an idea about that, so I'd just write it down. And sometimes an idea would come to me and I could write the poem in maybe 10, 15, even 20 minutes, the whole poem done. And some were only very short, but some of them were a bit longer. And, yeah, so I would see something on the TV. I would see something happening in the shopping centre. There would be things, church I was going to that moved me, and I would just start to write them down. And like I said, some were quick, but others I would write a couple of lines and have nothing more to say. Or I might leave it there and come back maybe a few days later and finish it. So it's never the same.
Yeah, here's the thing. And the poems that I read, I get the sense that you really enjoyed doing it. Was it really did it really turn into a passion for you? Did you really enjoy doing the poetry?
Yes, I do. I never really get frustrated or anything like that, as I do with other things. but it is a thing of joy. I believe it's the gift I've been given. I'm a person of faith, and I do believe that God speaks to us in those ways. And quite a few of the poems I have written are about things that happen in the church, or just maybe it's something about Christmas and things like that.
Wow. And you and I talked about this, and it was hard to put into words, but, you know, there's people listening to us, and I want them to pick up over the years and to get that sense of what a life is like, the good, the interesting, the sad, and all of that. And you put it out there. What is it that you hope people take away from it? Is it that joy that you and I talked about?
Yes, I think joy would be great, but also it can make people think a little bit about the world around them, about other people, things that other people are doing, things that happen to yourself in life, maybe a tragedy or something really exciting, like some of my poems have just been as a birthday present for one of my nieces turning 20, 21, that sort of thing. And yes, it can be about anything, really. I don't think there are any rules at all about what you need to write poetry about. It's just whatever speaks to you. So I've got a few sad poems. I've got a few funny poems. Well, I think they're funny. I've got something about Christmas. It's just look around, look at life, and what are you feeling in your heart? What sort of thoughts come to you?
Diane Walter, what a pleasure to meet you. Over the years, pick it up on Amazon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Howdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The land of race car yayas.
All right, there's no question about it. I am such a huge fan of anything that goes fast, and especially when we're talking about going and watching my favorite sport, which is any form of race car driving. So it's really exciting to have 21-year-old Lonnie Unser on with us. And you've heard that name before, Unser. And it's nothing but upside for this young woman, and it's a perfect time to talk about National Tire Safety Week, thanks to Cooper Tires. So, Lonnie, we appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, thank
you so much for having me. It's great to be talking to a fellow race fan.
Oh, I'm a huge race fan. You know, I have to be honest. I used to poo-poo it and say, oh, that's just a bunch of turns. That's until I went down to the track, and then I completely became a crazy fan, went in the pits, the whole thing. So you grew up that way. And before we dive into National Safety Week, what was it like growing up for you around this racing dynasty? It's just in your blood, right?
Oh, it was so cool. I've been around the track since before I could remember, honestly. I remember my dad picking me up and putting me in his Indy car, and at the age of two, I can honestly remember thinking it was the coolest thing in the world. So it's just really been a cool thing to be a part of, and I'm honored to be a part of the Unser family.
Yeah, so as far as racing is concerned, did you say to your dad, hey, I want to do this too, and then you kind of started out that way?
Sort of. So unlike most, I didn't grow up go-karting or anything like that. I grew up in a small town in Idaho, which I wasn't allowed to race cars at that time because there were no tracks that were very close. But when I was a senior in high school, my dad came to me and said, hey, Lonnie, would you like to go to this driving school? I was able to do it when I was your age, so I want to give you the same opportunity. And I, of course, said yes because I had grown up, you know, on ski trips or whatever, going to the go-kart track. So, of course, I wanted to do that. And I remember that night of the driving school, my dad and I were sitting at dinner, and I was like, Dad, is there any way we can make this happen? And, you know, he started thinking, and then before we knew it, we had put together a race program in Colorado where I went to college, and it just kind of started from there.
Wow, very, very cool. All right, so let's talk about National Tire Safety Week. And for people listening, they're thinking, National Tire Safety Week? And it's funny because we just got new tires. So why is that important, especially now?
You know, a study done by Cooper Tires showed that 44% of Americans are more likely to take road trips. So that just means it's more important now than ever to be looking after our tires. And there are three key things that I want everybody to know about and everybody to do. And they're actually really easy, and they only take a couple minutes. And first, that's checking your tire pressure. And I always keep a tire pressure gauge in my glove box at all times, so I can check it monthly or before any big road trip. And second, I always check the tread depth, and that's to avoid things like hydroplaning, and it can help your stopping distance and just the overall control of your car. And I have a penny in my car to check that, and I do that by putting the penny upside down in the groove of the tire, and if Lincoln's head is covered, that means you're good to go, but if his head is completely showing, it's a good indication that it's time to change your tires. And then third, checking the overall condition of your tires, so looking for anything like nails or cuts, bulges, whatever it may be that looks out of the ordinary, is an indication that, again, you want to get it checked out. And that can help prevent things like tire failure.
Yeah. And again, this couldn't be more timely because what you said about the penny is so true. That's the best way to do that. I did just get tires because I failed, Lonnie, I failed my inspection.
Oh, no.
Yes, because my tire pressure, because I wasn't doing the things you said. And now it's, again, so perfect to have you on. Thanks to Cooper Tires, because I'm going to be doing that from now on. No question about that. What about younger people who are listening and some couple of tips to throw to them about being safe on the road, especially because so many people are traveling with COVID-19. They're taking more road trips, and younger people too.
Right. I'm so lucky that I've been able to build these habits from when I started driving. And it's honestly never too late to start checking these three things. And then beyond that, you know, I always recommend don't try to avoid stopping quickly or starting quickly, or always try to avoid potholes and curbs and things like that. That'll prolong the wear and tear of your tires, and it'll also keep you safer on the road.
Yep, great advice. All right, one last thing. What are you doing now? I mean, how do you keep yourself in driving shape with the situation that we're in? And of course, cars are running. So what's next for you?
Headed to Virginia this weekend for a race that I'm really excited about. And then beyond that, you know, just climbing the ranks. And I'd hopefully one day like to be in the top level of sports car racing.
Nice. All right. We're going to be watching for you. Promise me you'll come back on. Just a terrific conversation. Go to coopertire.com, too, for more information. Thanks, Lonnie, and good luck.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. That was great talking to you.
Thank you. Yeah, she'll be fun to watch. I think she's got a good head on her shoulders, and she kind of had a fight to get that right to become the professional driver. And she went to the University of Colorado, and her parents at first were about that, and then she won them over. And, of course, it's interesting about tires, especially I just had taken that short road trip and then found out that I had to have tires. That penny trick is really the trick with 44% of Americans saying they're taking more road trips because of the coronavirus. Well, of course, the thing you have to have is what? The car that works. You got to check the tires, especially heading into the winter for some of us, depending on what the winter is like. All right, with a few minutes left until we wrap this hour of the show, some parting shots or thoughts, and I'll tell you, one of them is we started off with Nancy Pelosi demanding actually now an apology because she's saying she was set up. But I can't back the Speaker of the House for that because it was just dumb. You got to wear, if you're telling everyone to wear a mask, why do you think you go into the hair salon? Oh, it's perfectly safe, and not pay attention to what's happening in your own backyard. And then if the people around you aren't informing you of that, and that's what you have them there for, that's a problem in your own house. So she blew it there, and I don't think there's no apology necessary. She served it up for anyone to just take a shot at her. And the way things move now, that'll go away in however many days. But it is definitely something that could bubble back here and there, because how do you say, wear a mask, if you're not doing it? And one of the things that we know about politics is what? You got to have money. You got to have money to run. You got to have money to make the wheels squeak. And Joe Biden pulled in $365 million apparently in August, $1.5 million in new donors. So are the new donors new voters? If you look at what happens in this election and you compare it to what happened with Hillary Clinton, and I'm just saying the numbers the way you were, the scenarios are she didn't get the majority of the white working class vote. Donald Trump did, and that helped in swing states. So does he change that? You can see with the commercials, they're talking about his working class side and where he grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Does that work with the voters? Younger voters didn't turn out in big numbers the way they did for Barack Obama. Will they turn out in this election? That's another big mystery question mark. And then speaking of turning out, it's also about those mail-in ballots and the conversation about the post office that we constantly have. And I've said this, and I'll stick at this, I don't think we have a winner on election night. I don't think that we have an announcement. I really, really don't. It doesn't feel like that to me, because it feels like there's too much of a push and pull on the whole idea of the mail-in ballots and what's counting and how close it could be. Or maybe it's not. I mean, if it's not close and polls are wrong, well, then all bets are off and there will be a winner. But it just does not feel like it to me. It feels like this is something that we're going to be talking about for a couple of days afterwards, right? All right, music means hats off to Tom Seaver. He was truly a hero, legend for the Mets, and I luckily in my lifetime had a chance to meet Tom. Terrific, heck of an arm, before my time, but I've seen the footage. Pitcher for the Mets during the 1968 season. He's very, very popular, without a doubt. And he has left the planet. So rip to Tom Seaver at the age of 72. Make it count, everybody.
This is the Rat Race. Rat Race. Rat Race. Summer lost. Summer boss. Summer jagged. Oh, wow.
DrinkSuperTea.com.
Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.